Acts chapter 10, we'll start reading tonight, verse 34. Well, I feel the Lord here in this service tonight. I really thank the Lord for what He has done. And I know that God is not through. And I know that there are people who need help from God. And I am not content and not satisfied while there is one person in this church without Christ. I don't believe God's satisfied as long as there's one person without Jesus. I mean, in this service right here tonight. And in your families, you know, God is not satisfied if there's just one outside the fold in your family. And you ought not to be satisfied if there's just one outside the fold in your family. Jesus gave us this parable about the shepherd, the good shepherd and the sheep. One went astray and the shepherd left the 99 and went after that one. He told all of those stories to show us the importance in the eyes of God of one soul. And I believe that if we could see like God sees, oh my, every soul is critical to God. And if you're here in this service lost without Jesus tonight, I'm praying that you won't go out of these doors until you first bend your knee at the foot of the cross and receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, if you will, stand with us tonight for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll read several verses of Scripture. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Now this is happening at Cornelius' house, the centurion, the Gentile centurion who sent for Peter, and God directed him to go. And he's talking to them now. "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, both Jew and Gentile. That word, I say, ye know," these people were not ignorant completely of the ministry of Jesus, "which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God," that is Jesus, "was ordained of God to be the judge of quick," that is those that are alive, "and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Father, we're glad tonight for the privilege that we have to assemble around the table of the Lord. And I pray that tonight you'd help us to pull up to the table. Help us, Lord, to partake of the things that Christ has provided for us through his death, and burial, and resurrection. Pray that tonight, Father, you'd anoint me and anoint this congregation and accomplish your will in this service tonight. There are souls here that need to be saved. There are those that need to be sanctified. There are those that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I believe tonight, Lord, that it is your desire to accomplish the will of those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Lord, I pray that we'd stand on the promises of God tonight and receive from the Lord. May this altar be fruitful tonight. We'll give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you tonight for a few minutes on affected by the resurrection of Jesus. Affected by the resurrection of Jesus. I read to you a message preached by Peter at the house of Cornelius, the Gentile centurion. And it was on this occasion that the Gentiles were incorporated into the New Testament church and equipped to participate in its global mission of being witnesses for Jesus Christ. The message of Peter, the message that Peter preached on this occasion, follows the pattern of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in focusing on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. These are the foundational truths of the gospel message. And all of the apostles centered their preaching around the person of Jesus Christ, with particular emphasis on his death and his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, Paul presents a general outline of the substance of his preaching, very similar to what we read in this message that Peter preached. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." You stand by continuing to believe what you started out believing about Jesus, his death and burial and resurrection. All right, you received it, you stand in it, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now here's what he preached. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That was the gospel that Paul preached. Centered around Christ, centered around the theme of redemption, centered around the sufferings and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus was so unusual and so pivotal in God's plan of salvation, that when Jesus rose from the dead, God assembled a small group of witnesses who saw him. They saw him after he had risen from the dead. And in my text in verse 40, the Bible, Peter said, "Him," that is Jesus, "God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God." Now Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, gives us a little detailed list of the people that saw Jesus, some of the people that saw Jesus after his resurrection. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8, Peter saw him, the 12 saw him, above 500 brethren at once saw him, James saw him, all the apostles, and Paul said, "Last of all, I saw him." Hallelujah. On the Damascus Road, I saw the resurrected Lord. Now we know that's not a complete list, because we know the ladies, the women saw him. So we know that this is not a complete list, but we know that God, on purpose, chose certain witnesses to see Jesus after his resurrection. And there was a purpose for that, because this message of the resurrection is so pivotal in the gospel message. You've got to know and believe in the resurrection of Jesus. In this message that Peter preached, he declares that he is a witness of the resurrection. He said in verse 41, "Not unto all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us." That is the apostles who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. You remember on that second Sunday, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, and on the first Sunday, and he appeared to them and he showed to them his wounds, and they doubted, even looking on Jesus, looking at him and looking at the wounds in his body, they doubted. And Jesus said, "Give me something to eat." And so they gave him some broiled fish and honeycomb. And Jesus ate it. He said, this is not a spirit. This is Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God. You know, Jesus later on goes out to the seaside where the disciples are fishing, cooks a meal on the shore, summons them, come and dine, have a meal with his disciples on the seashore, and prove to them he was no ghost, he was no spirit, he was the resurrected, bodily resurrected Son of God. Jesus was risen from the dead. So Peter's declaring, "I saw him, I ate with him, I am a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And he declares unto Cornelius and his friends what he has seen and heard. And this message that Peter preached to these people had a dramatic effect on them. And I want you to see three effects that this message had on this group of people. First of all, they believed the report of the resurrection. Secondly, they were equipped to be witnesses of that resurrection themselves. And thirdly, they anticipated a personal meeting with the resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the three things I want you to see in this passage of Scripture. First of all, they believed the report of the resurrection that Peter preached to them about Jesus. You see, there had been a report circulated in Judea after Peter had come here to this place. And in chapter 11 and verse 1, it is said, "The apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles," that is Cornelius and his household, "had received the word of God." What was this word of God about? It was about one thing, one emphasis in this was the resurrection of Jesus. They received the word of God. And they, later on at the conference on circumcision at Jerusalem in Acts 15, Peter stood up and testified on behalf of the Gentiles. And he said, "Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago that God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." These people believed the gospel message that Peter preached to them. They accepted the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Y'all hanging on now? Are y'all staying with me? Praise God. This may be ABCs to you, but that's all right. Some people have got to get the ABCs together. And so you just stay with me here just a little while. Amen. Cornelius and his friends, when they heard this gospel message, they were immediately convinced. They believed it. The seed fell on good ground and started producing fruit right there. You know, later on, Paul will preach this same message, this resurrection message at Athens in Acts chapter 17. And he got a cool reception. The Bible says, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, "We'll hear you again of this matter." In other words, we're going to hold off making any decision about this. We'll hear you again about it. So some of them mocked and some of them said, "We're putting off making any decision about this message of the resurrection." So the message of the resurrection was not received at Athens like it was received at Cornelius' house. And I want you to know that the message of the resurrection of Jesus is for some a starting point, and for others it is a stopping point. And for the people at Cornelius' household, it was a starting point. They believed it, they received it, and accepted the benefits of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. at Athens, they did not believe it. It was their stopping point. It became a stumbling block to them because they did not believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For everybody who believes from their heart the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it becomes a starting point in your Christian journey. For the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This believing has to come from your heart. It's not just a mental activity. You've got to accept this resurrection and what it means to you and surrender to the one that came out of that grave. You've got to believe from your heart that God has raised him from the dead. This becomes the starting point of the Christian journey for everybody who believes from their heart. Hallelujah. So, this message of the resurrection is critical. It is critical because if you do not accept it, it becomes the stopping point. Right there, you're hung up until you accept the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, this is how they accepted the message. Secondly, they were equipped to spread the message of the resurrection. My Bible text tells us in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. These people are listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're hearing about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And they believe it in their hearts. And God fills them with the Holy Ghost and equips them to spread the message of the resurrection. You see, in Acts 1 and 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. They were to be filled with the Holy Ghost, so that they would become witnesses for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Jesus incorporated these people into his plan, his global plan, his global purpose for making them witnesses for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. These people who became convinced of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost, and while they listened to the message. I want you to understand that nobody was there laying hands on them for them to receive the Holy Ghost. They were not even baptized in water. But later on, Peter will say, but God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between Jew and Gentile, purifying their hearts by faith. Hallelujah. God saw the hearts of these people. He saw that they did believe. Their hearts were purified and prepared. And God filled them with the Holy Ghost and incorporated them into his New Testament church and gave them the same mission he gave to the others. You will be my witnesses unto the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. And so these people now, praise God, who have believed in the resurrection are equipped to spread that same message unto other people. When they accepted it, they were equipped to spread it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there are people in this service tonight that need the baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire. And some have been seeking in this meeting, earnestly seeking in this meeting. And I want to tell you tonight that there's no certain place that you have to get it and no certain way that you've got to get it. The Spirit, if the wind bloweth where it listeth, I'm telling you, and he blew where he listed. And right here in this service while Peter was preaching, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And I say tonight, if you believe the gospel, hallelujah, Oh, yeah, being filled with the Holy Ghost is not a matter of you meriting it. It's a matter of you believing the promises of God. And while I'm preaching to you this very night, while I'm declaring to you this gospel message, and I say that God can fill somebody with the Holy Ghost and right here in this congregation, just like He did Cornelius and his household. Every one of them were filled with the Holy Ghost, and as they heard the gospel message, and they believed the resurrection story, and God equipped them to spread that resurrection story unto other people. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They were equipped to spread this message. And finally, they anticipated a personal audience with the resurrected Lord. You see, Peter told them in verse 42, he said that Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick, that is, those that are alive and those that are dead. Now, after he tells them that he's been a witness of the resurrected Lord, he tells them in effect in this verse that you are going to see Him too. I saw Him. I saw the resurrected Lord. But in essence, what He said here is, you are going to see Him too. And I'm going to tell you, everybody sitting under the sound of my voice, I want you to understand, you are going to see Him too. God hath ordained this man to be the judge of all men, and you are going to see Him too. I don't know if you can get a hold of that or not, but if I can, I'm going to try to help you get a hold of that tonight. That everybody in this place, you are going to see Him too. God has made Him the judge of quick and the dead. And the Bible says in Revelation 1:7, behold, He cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see Him. They also which pierced Him. All kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. You see, every eye is going to behold the resurrected Lord. Peter saw Him. Paul saw Him. The apostles saw Him. 500 brethren saw Him. But you are going to see Him too. I am going to see Him. Every eye is going to see Him, the resurrected Lord of glory. He's a judge of quick and dead. He is the very one who pronounces the final sentence for all men. Did you hear me? I said, He is the one who pronounces the final sentence for all men. Oh, brother, if I could tonight, I want to lift Jesus high. I want you to see Him glorified. I want you to see Him exalted. I want you to see what a great Savior He is, and what a mighty Savior He is, and how high the Son of God is tonight. He's the judge of all men, the quick and the dead. He pronounces the final sentence. Not only are you going to see Him, hear me now, not only are you going to see Him, but you are going to hear Him. He's going to speak to you. And you're going to hear what He's got to say. His voice is going to speak your verdict. And when He speaks your verdict, there will be no appeal from His verdict. You have exhausted all appeals when you appear in His court. There is no higher authority. There is no higher court to go to. He's the judge of the quick and dead. When He speaks your verdict, there will be no appeal from the verdict of the Son of God. There's two things, one of two things, that you are going to hear when you stand before the Lord of glory. You're either going to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Or else you are going to hear Him say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you. And I want to say to you tonight that Jesus Christ is going to speak. He's a are the most blessed words that you've ever heard or the most fearful words that you've ever heard. He is the judge of all men. He speaks the final sentence. And he's going to pronounce your verdict. And it's going to either be well done or it's going to be depart from me. I never knew you. Brother, you've got a choice. Sister, you've got a choice. Young lady, you got a choice. Young man, you got a choice tonight. It's heaven or hell. It's well done or depart from me. It's one or the other. You're going to see him. You're going to hear him. And there's no getting around that appointment. You're not going to be able to avoid it. You're not going to be able to get around it. You cannot escape the judgment of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, do you think, O man, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And this is what people do. They, in their minds, they concoct them some scheme that they think they'll get by the judgment of God. But I'm telling you, he's risen from the dead, and God has appointed him to be the judge of all men. And there's no escaping that appointment with God. You are going to see him, and you are going to hear from the Son of God. They anticipated an audience with him. They understood someday we're going to see him. Everybody here has got a choice. You either wait until you see him to believe in the resurrection, or you believe without seeing him. That's the choice you've got. You're either going to wait till you see him to believe that he's risen from the dead, or you're going to believe without seeing him. Now, there are those who saw him and believed. And you remember when Jesus appeared to his disciples on that second Sunday, and Thomas was there, and Jesus addressed Thomas directly, and he said unto Thomas, Thomas, thou hast seen me. Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they who having never seen, but yet have believed. Praise God. And my brother, this is a blessing that the Lord wants to pronounce on you tonight, that you have not seen, but you have believed. You have believed that there's an empty grave. You have believed that Christ triumphed over hell. You have believed that the Son of God came out triumphant with the keys of death and hell and the grave in his hand. You have believed that the Son of God is who he said he was, and that he did what he said he was going to do. Praise God. He said, you can put me to death, but I'm coming out of the grave on the third day. And Jesus Christ came out of that grave. And when you believe from your heart, you can be saved when you believe from your heart. What did Thomas do when Thomas saw him thrust his hands into his wounds? What did Thomas do? Oh, brother, hear me. He declared before Jesus, my Lord and my God. He became thoroughly convinced by the fact that he saw him and he touched him and he thrust his hands into his wounds, and he was thoroughly convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, and he cried out, my Lord and my God. Now listen, Thomas left that meeting. He went to the upper room. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He went out and told other people that Jesus was risen from the dead. He traveled, according to tradition, all the way to India, preaching that Jesus was risen from the dead. And tradition tells us that he was martyred in the country of India. There are still people there who are Christians who call themselves by his name in India. And this man who saw Jesus resurrected, touched him, saw his wounds, cried out, my Lord and my God, and was so affected by what he saw and what he heard that he was willing to lay down his life for the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I say, brother, let God give us such a revelation of the Son of God to our heart that we'll be so committed to him that we'd rather die than to deny the wonderful name of Jesus. If you have not been transformed, you have not believed. Did you hear me? I said, if you have not been transformed, you have not believed from your heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you are not saved from your sins, you are not saved at all. I said, if you are not saved from your sins, you are not saved at all. For I'm telling you that that's the reason Jesus Christ came out of the grave. He conquered hell. He conquered your sins. And he demonstrated his power. And he breaks the power of sin in every life that believes and trusts in him. If you're not saved from your sins, you're not saved at all. And if you have not believed from your heart, I'm telling you, your life is not transformed until you believe from your heart in the resurrected Son of God. Augustine, that mighty intellect in church history, traveling the 4th and 5th centuries A.D., endured a mighty struggle in his soul before he surrendered to the resurrected Lord. He was bound by lust, reluctant to say goodbye to his mistress, torn by the drawing of the Son of God, and on the other hand, bound by the lust in his heart. At times, he would ask God for deliverance, and then he'd tack on this, but not yet. Lord, give me deliverance, but not yet. And you know, there may be some sitting right here in this house tonight. You know that resurrected Savior can deliver you right now. Oh, glory to God. He came out of that grave. He can deliver you right now. But you got to get rid of that not yet. When you pray and say, oh, Son of God, oh, resurrected Savior, oh, mighty conquering King, I want you to deliver me from my sins. Don't tack on not yet. And if you'll pray from your heart, if you're ready, He's ready. And He's got the power. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. There's an empty grave to prove it. He's got the power right now. Shake you loose from your sins. And He's got the power to turn your heart from your sins. And He's got the power to make you hate your sins. Hallelujah. You can walk away from them and be happy about it because of the power of the resurrected Savior tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, you say, Lord, I want you to deliver me, but not yet. Finally, one day, after God working with him for some time, he surrendered his heart to Jesus. God transformed his life, delivered him. And when told his godly mother, who had been praying for years for him to be saved, he moved to Milan, Italy, and his mama moved with him. Because she's concerned about his soul. Prayed and prayed for that boy to be saved. And one day God got a hold of his heart so good that he gave up, surrendered his heart and life to Jesus. When told his godly mother, God saved me. Oh, she was so happy, so glad. Listen to me. The next day, walking down the main street of town, he ran into that woman who had been such a terrible influence on his life, dragging him down. Lust had had a hold of his heart. He couldn't seem to get away from her. And he met her the very next day, walking down the street. And he didn't speak, so she spoke. And she said, Augustine, it is I. And Augustine replied, and he said, but it is not I. Woo! And walked on down the street. And walked away. And never went back. Hallelujah. Because he said, it is not I. Praise God. That old man died. Praise the Lord. There's a new man walking down the street now. He said, Augustine, it's I. But he said, it's not I. Praise God. There's a different man walking here. I'm telling you, that's what the resurrection of Jesus will do for you. It'll give you a new life. It'll give you new desires. It'll give you a power to overcome. This is a resurrected Savior, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, there's power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, glory to God. I feel the presence of the Lord right here in this place, and because Jesus is here to set souls free tonight. Unloose the shackles and let you go free. I'm telling you, that resurrected Savior who said, the anointing of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, didn't just preach it. He demonstrates it, brother. He cuts us loose from the shackles. He pulls us out of the prison house. He binds the strong man. He's stronger than the strong man. He binds the strong man and sets his prisoners free. Praise God. Because I was once there and you were once there. But Jesus binds the strong man and set the prisoners free tonight. Hallelujah. He's demonstrated he's greater than the enemy of your soul. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. He's greater than angels. Oh yeah. He's greater than the Old Testament prophets. He's greater than any man in history. Never been another man like Jesus. And hallelujah. Who conquered death and conquered hell. And hallelujah. And conquers your sins. Jesus Christ is the resurrected Son of God tonight. Hallelujah. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. I'm going to give an altar call tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I believe from my heart tonight. Desperately needed deliverance. But like Augustine, I was saying to God, not yet. I want to hang on a little bit longer. I couldn't find no help. Until after 3 nights in that altar, I said, now, Lord, now. Now I surrender. Now I give up. And all that night, nobody had to tell me, Prescott, you're saved. But Roy, I knew I was saved. Hallelujah. That old burden of sin rolled away. Just like somebody reached inside of me and pulled a burden off of my heart I could hardly carry. And I'll tell you something else too. After the Lord saved me that night, I felt so clean on the inside. I was a dirty sinner. But after He saved me that night, I felt so clean on the inside. Oh, He washed me with a substance that the world don't know nothing about. The blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. Jerry, I'll never forget when you prayed through down here, how the devil fought you. I thought Jerry's going to quit and give up. And I was talking to him. Jerry told me, he said, Preacher, I've been too wicked for God to save me. And I said, Jerry, you're the very one Jesus came to save. The very one. God sent His Son into this world not to, for well people, but for sick people. Amen. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah. He came to set us free. He came to give us new life. Praise God. I know there's people sitting in this place tonight. You're aware of the fact that your heart's dirty. It's unclean. You feel it. You know it. And the only way you're going to get rid of it is to bring it to Jesus. Ain't no doctor in the world can wash it out. telling you there ain't no pill that can cure it. Oh, no. Oh, if there's somebody who can, praise God. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus still works tonight. Still has the power to wash us from our sins.
Yes, amen.
I want us to stand together. We're going to give, first of all, a chance for those that are lost to come to this altar tonight.